You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Happy to welcome right now the Napa County's Public Health Director, Dr. Karen Relucio, who joins us each Monday at this time for an update. Good morning.
Good morning.
And so another week begins. We've come off of a holiday, and there's always a little bit of a question mark about what that means these days. What's your mood and attitude here at the beginning of a new month?
Well, I think that, we are seeing, I think we're probably going to most likely meet the 4 million mark with the vaccine for disproportionately impacted communities. So that might shift the framework. So at this point, we're going to be waiting for what the cure determination is going to be. I don't want to speak prematurely because it's not going to be an easy flight in orange. I just want to put it that way, but we'll wait to see what is happening at the state level.
Just to clarify, when you reference the 4 million mark, that has to do with the number of shots given within those designated areas, right?
That's correct, yes. So what that would do is it would shift the red, the orange, and the yellow tier. So it's easier to get into those tiers than it would have been without that adjustment.
Similar to what happened a few weeks ago, we moved to red and Sonoma County did not. And then a couple of days later, because we reached 2 million vaccinations under that plan, they were able to go ahead and move to the red, as I recall. Similar situation now, right?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. We thought we were going to move to orange on, March 30th, uh-huh. but we had an increase, a bump up in our case rates that kept us into the red tier. So at this point, we are just, we're waiting to see what our case rates are going to be with the adjustment. But there's going to be a lot of work today at the state level in order to recalculate all of our case rates and just to see where we're going to end up.
As you mentioned, there was that bump because of the outbreak at the veterans home. And after that sort of passed by, then we settled back in. Most of last week was about 10 cases a day, or at least three or four days of that, it seemed like. As of this moment, what do you see in the case rate and the positivity rate in Napa County? Are we flat? Are we rising, dropping? Where are we?
We're not dropping. At this point, once again, I think we're going to have to wait for our cure assignment tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll hear more about that. Will you be presenting to the Board of Supes tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. And that's usually up top in the 9:05, 10 after 9 time frame?
Yes, I believe it might actually be the first agenda item.
Yeah, okay. So for those listening in here this morning, want to hear directly from Dr. Relucio, more expanded format, lots more content, you can listen in to the Board of Supervisors meeting via the internet. And there will also be, of course, the state coming out with their Tuesday statements around 1 o'clock, and that provides more information. So we'll be on tenterhooks until tomorrow to find out more. I was talking earlier about these changes that were announced on Friday from the state level that I was a bit surprised by, the April 15th date being set for resumption of indoor gatherings, all, of course, tied to color-coded tiers and so on and so forth. What are your thoughts about that? Were you expecting that? Or did that come as a surprise from the state?
The state had alluded to these changes, before it got published. And I think that they're pretty much taking from practices across the world or across the United States where they are able to mitigate just, you know, outbreaks from these type of gatherings as long as there's careful measures that are put into place. I have to put this in front of me because I can't memorize all these changes. There's quite a few of them. But, starting on April 15th, gathering definitions will change. So effective on April 15th, any counties in the purple tier can only have a maximum of 3 households. But that part doesn't change, and it says outdoor only. However, if you're in the red tier, outdoor gatherings could be a max of 25 people. And then if you're in orange, max of 50 people outdoors. And then if you're in yellow, a max of 100 people outdoors. Indoor gatherings are strongly discouraged, but allowed with modifications, don't have any food or drink, and you have to have masks. The other thing that's going to come out is private events, such as meetings, receptions, and conferences. On April 15th, in purple is maximum of 25 people outdoor only, but if all guests are tested or show proof of full vaccination, a max of 100 people. In tier 2, which is red, outdoors a maximum of 50 people, but if all guests are tested or show proof of full vaccination, a max of 200. And we'll see that in tier 3 also. Tier 3 is orange, maximum of 100 people outdoors. But if guests are tested or show proof of full vaccination, a maximum of 300. So there's a lot of changes that are happening, which I will present tomorrow. But there's so many changes that if people have questions, you should go to COVID-19.ca.gov and then just look for Blueprint for a Safer Economy, and it'll lead you to the guidance. Otherwise, I'll also there will be a hyperlink on my PowerPoint presentation tomorrow to the board. The other thing is, so they're going to allow these indoor activities, seated live events, and has to be people only in state. So there are a lot of changes that are happening all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts on it are, if it's done carefully and done correctly, I don't think we can let down our guard. I mean, we are seeing other parts of the country where they're seeing increased cases because of, spring break and lots of gatherings that are unchecked and unmasked. So I think just as long as we proceed with care, hopefully hopefully this is not going to lead to increased transmission. But I have to say, it does make me a bit nervous.
Yeah, I was relating a little bit earlier on the show that if you read across several different stories that reference the possibility of a fourth wave, you'll hear, maybe 3 out of 5 epidemiologists are saying they're concerned. And then the other 2 are saying, no, I don't think we'll have a fourth wave in California, at least because of the vaccination rate moving forward so fast. But there's a lot of uncertainty. I don't think there's any other way to put it. It's not like we've been here before and have a playbook for this.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of questions that are, we're seeing more of the population get vaccinated. There's just a lot of questions about, what kind of changes are we talking about for vaccinated people? And I know that the CDC has put out guidance that, vaccinated people can be with each other, without masks or physical distancing, but you want to really keep your contact. You don't want to just go from household to household. I think you have to be really careful in how many vaccinated people you gather with as well. So I think there's just a lot of changes that are coming down the pike. And I know that the state is also having some conversations about a green tier. But that's, that's predicated on, reaching, some type of community immunity. And my understanding is that the entire state of California would move together into the green tier.
Okay, interesting. The other news drop on Friday in connection or in this, at the same time as that information about indoor gatherings, there was a statement that the entire color-coded system would soon be retired. Has that been mentioned at any point?
Well, it has been mentioned. That's what the green tier is, but it's not going to happen for a few months.
Really?
I mean, it's not going to be immediate at all. No, because, you know, we have to get to the point where, you know, at least 70% of the population should be vaccinated before we get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to take some time.
So let's talk about vaccinations a little bit. There was a very successful event over at the CIA at Copia last week, 1,600 plus individuals getting a shot in one day. It seemed pretty impressive. How are we doing? What's the scorecard for Napa County on vaccinations?
So we have administered 93,000 doses of vaccine, and this is within Napa County. And this is not just people that live in our county, but people that work in our county as well. So, and then we know that this week is going to be a large second dose wave. So between Napa County Public Health and St. Helena Hospital Foundation, they're going to hit second doses. I believe that Kaiser is going to have another second dose clinic because they had a pop-up in the Meritage, which also, you know, drew over 1,000 people.
Mm.
So they're going to hit that wave. We know that we also allocated vaccine to Safeway Pharmacy to vaccinate grocery workers and restaurants. So they're going to hit that second wave too. So I think there's a lot going on. And I think just in terms of vaccine availability, we're seeing more vaccine available at retail pharmacies through the federal CDC Retail Pharmacy Partnership. So now I think we have 8 different pharmacies that are going to be offering vaccine through the federal allocation. And I believe there's, one in CVS, one Rite Aid, 2 Walgreens, 1 Walmart. And then there's, the Pharmaca through Cardinal, the Pharmaca Integrated Pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am forgetting. And then a couple of the Save Mart or Lucky's. So I believe that there's going to be more vaccine in those areas through the federal pharmacy partnership.
I also saw a reference to Costco now expanding their involvement. I guess they're also in the federal pharmacy program.
Yeah, I think they're onboarding pharmacies as more vaccine becomes mm-hmm. available. I think pharmacies are getting they're getting vaccine either through the federal government or also might be getting it through the Blue Shield. They're part of the Blue Shield network. So mm-hmm. then basically any vaccines that get allocated to counties would go directly to those pharmacies if there's enough vaccine.
There was a story out last week about a survey in the Bay Area on vaccine hesitancy, and it showed that the North Bay counties had the highest level of suspicion, I guess is the best way to put it, or cautiousness on the part of people in terms of getting vaccinated. Are we doing enough in terms of public education on this to allay people's fears? Because I still hear someone saying to me very recently, none of these vaccines have really been fully tested. This emergency use authorization isn't the same as a full authorization, and we really don't know what the outcome of this will be. I tend not to think that way about it, but I'm interested in what you think.
Yeah, we are definitely seeing some hesitancy, and what is going to really declare itself is when we have plenty of vaccine. It doesn't seem like I think there's still a lot of demand for vaccine, and when I we're working on a survey with our just different sectors just to see what the hesitancy rate is. You know, in the healthcare side, we're seeing anywhere from maybe 70 to 85% of healthcare workers be vaccinated. So that leaves behind those that have vaccine hesitancy. But in our education sector, there's a high uptake there. you know, we're talking about like, you know, 85 to 95%. So I think it seems to be a lot of uptake just based on, just based on querying like the school district. So I think it's variable, and we don't know what the entire, you know, what the global vaccine hesitancy is in our, in the Bay, like in Napa County. So it's, I think in terms of education, you know, we're trying to, you know, the state has put out educational campaigns, but we're also trying to really get our disproportionately impacted population through our community immunity efforts, where, you know, public health staff are training trusted messengers to answer questions about vaccine and to be able to educate, our populations that are, you know, like, for example, the Latinx population. So they're more likely to take advice from somebody that's in the faith-based community, or they'll trust somebody that is maybe part of a community-based organization than the government. So I think those are some efforts that we're trying to do it at a more grassroots level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a challenging situation. Built-in uncertainties in some communities, and then, you know, only takes one or two questionable news stories, you know, quote unquote news that circulate, and then people come up with all kinds of misconceived ideas around something like this. And I know it's a lot of new content for people to absorb, but it's a big challenge. If there was...
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say just one more thing is that, you know, the CDC is continuing to, you know, to study, you know, any adverse events related to the vaccine. And so far, I mean, when you think about it, there's been millions of people that have been vaccinated. You know, I think that for those that have participated in the V-Safe, they have an app that, you know, monitors your symptoms after vaccination. And it's very brief. It takes literally 5 seconds to answer the question. And what they're doing is they're doing a longitudinal study on people that have been vaccinated through the V-Safe app. And they're really finding, you know, minimal adverse events. So it's very safe.
Yeah, that's, you know, the facts are the facts. And when you're giving, most recently, the country hit 4 million vaccinations in one day. We've been doing this since December. People have been getting shots since December. You know, you're getting to a point where to say, well, I'm going to wait and see, is sort of like, well, how long do you think you need to wait? You know, is three or four months not enough? Is it 6 or 9 months that you need to wait? And what exactly are you waiting for? If there was something substantially wrong, I think we'd know that by now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that also, you know, people have changed their mind after a while. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I know there was one facility where in the beginning, probably only 60% of the people were willing to be vaccinated. And as time has passed by and you're seeing more and more of their peers or their family members get vaccinated without any untoward effect, mm-hmm. they're changing their mind. So yeah. I think that's just, you know, I think the people that are on the fence are those, you know, those are the ones that, you know, are more persuadable, you know, over time.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit longer, I guess. Just for the record, I had my first shot last Monday, week ago today, and very little, almost no, you know, reaction to it whatsoever. And I'm looking forward to shot number two in 2 weeks. So,
excellent.
Yeah, I'll continue to tell my story on that, I guess. If you have one piece of advice for everyone in Napa County going into this next week of battling the contagion, what's your strongest message for everybody?
You know, I think that vaccinations are safe and effective way, and it's another tool in the toolbox to prevent COVID-19. But that's in conjunction with practicing the 3 W's, wear a mask, watch your distance, wash your hands. I think that it's an additional tool, and it's a very effective tool. I think it's also important not to let down your guard, because we are trying to move, we're trying to advance to another tier. And, you know, your actions determine what happens with our tier movement. And if it's, you know, if people are letting their guard down, you know, you know, I think that we're not going to move. So I think that that's important. And then, you know, as we see more things open up, I think it's just making sure that, you know, we practice the safety measures as stated before.
There you go. Dr. Karen Belluccio, Napa County's public health officer, good enough to give us some time each Monday morning so we start the week knowing where we stand with the coronavirus. Thank you and have a good week.
Hey, you too.
Okay, take care.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.